This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Friday, May 13th, 2016. Our Lady of Fatima, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It has always been about the kingdom of God. From the beginning of the Bible all the way to its very end, it's all about the kingdom. It's all about how things progress into the kingdom. We have this Old Testament reading all the way back from 2 Samuel, real early on in the Old Testament. And our Lord is telling King David that he is going to make his house a kingdom and it shall be forever. But if you know the stories, you know that David had all sorts of problems personally. He had all sorts of family problems. That's a tremendous understatement. Had a bunch of baggage. God's kingdom is still going to advance, and it will still prevail. It's a very positive thing. When we look at the kingdom of our Lord, and particularly the foreshadows of it in the Old Testament, we look at the kingdom and you watch it advance. It can give you an appreciation. It can make you a little bit more comfortable about your own life. It's a matter of advancement. You don't get everything right here and now, although we who live in the Burger King generation, we like everything right now. We want it actually sooner than that. We want it right now. We want it exactly the way we wanted it. And if you can make it even better, that's great. All right? It's all about us and what we want. Funny thing about God, he, let's not say doesn't care what we want, but what he wants takes precedent. That is this whole progression of his kingdom. Like I said, he's looking at King David through the prophet and he's saying, you know, that your kingdom is going to be forever and your throne will be established forever. Again, and then there were tremendous problems just in David's lifetime. And after he died, it got worse. It got worse and worse. And worse, until God, doing what God does, and desiring to get what he wants done, sends his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into the world, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary. On this day in which we're going to conduct the crowning, celebrate the crowning of our Blessed Mother, you can lose sight of it if you, oh, the crowning, it's really pretty, I like that. You know, all the kids are involved, nice mass. It's much more than that. It is about who she is in the kingdom of heaven. Our Protestant friends don't like when we use terminology like the Queen of Heaven. They disdain titles like the Basilica, Mary Queen of the Universe. How dare they say that about her? Jesus is the kingdom. He's the king. Yeah, that's why we say she's the queen. If you're talking about the King of England, if you got a mother, if there's a King of England and he's got a mother, guess what she is? She is the Queen Mother. Our Blessed Mother is by just her very nature, just what she did, the Queen. And if our Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the King of Heaven and Earth, then just by definition, His Mother is Queen Mother of Kings, of Lords, and of all the Earth. The whole universe. By nature of what she did, by virtue of what she did, by virtue of her, you know, it's kind of interesting to see the way God works. Her absolute humility at the Annunciation, be it done to me according to thy word, not knowing how anything was going to pan out, be it done to me according to thy word, from that to the Queen of Heaven. Extremely positive, very positive. But just like King David, look what she endured in her life. You would think at the presentation of the temple, you know, we read that in the Gospel today, you would think at the presentation of the temple that there would have been such great excitement about what's going on. How much excitement is that? You know, I'm the mother. There he is. There's the little Messiah. This is great. Simeon the priest. Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I can die now. That's what Simeon says. I can die now. I've been waiting for the Messiah. Now I see him. I can die. I'm good. All right? Very positive. You know, you would think Mary could be overwhelmed with gratitude for her position, overwhelmed by just being in close proximity to the Messiah. But then he looks at her, Simeon, he looks at her and he says, and a sword will pierce your soul. A sword will pierce your soul. That's right after he said that this Messiah is for the uprising and the downfalling of many in Israel. That's what we have to understand. That's what I started this out with. When we look at ourselves, when we look at our own lives, understand how God works. You don't get everything at once. Guess what? When you get everything, you're not here anymore. All right? So to get everything, what must we do? Die. That is our lot because of this sin, curse, and fallen world. That was not God's original plan. We messed it up, but he still fixed it. That's what he does. But he does it in his own timing. Our lives can be just like when our Lord says, I'm going to establish your kingdom forever. There will always be someone seated. And it's a kingdom for all eternity. The joyous times when you hear things like that. And then the sorrowful times when you hear, and again, an understatement, when you hear God say through his prophet that a sword is going to pierce your soul. A sword is going to pierce our souls. If our blessed mother had to endure it, if our blessed Lord had to endure that, why for one moment do we ever think that everything is supposed to be always just the way we want it in our lives? We got to follow the Blessed Mother's direction. What is her direction? To the servants, do what he tells you. Do what he tells you. When our Blessed Mother said that to the servants at the wedding of Cana, did she know what our Lord was going to tell them to do? Had no idea, but she knew that whatever it was going to be righteous, it was going to be just, and it was going to be good, and it was going to work. So she could, with all her being, look at those servants and say, do whatever he tells you. She says the same exact things to us. Do whatever he tells you. Because you would think that being the Queen of Heaven now, and our Lord exalted in glory, just have the ascension. You would think with the ascension and the queenship of our Blessed Mother that their lives would be absolutely perfect. And they are, in a sense. But there are still elements, because of what we do down here, that grieve them. We do grieve them. We do things like quench the Holy Spirit that he sends. We don't listen to his precepts. We don't listen to his commandments. Sometimes we don't listen. Sometimes we just violate them outright. That's all there is to it. And we continue to grieve our Lord and our Lady. Our Lady, when she appeared at Fatima, she gave three secrets. Most of you are all into the Fatima. You know about the whole story. So I won't get into that right now. But she tells three secrets. Two, everybody knew. But there was a third that it. And our Blessed Mother, just like, you know, at the wedding of Cana, when she looked at the servant and said, do what they tell you, he told Lucia something. Don't tell the third prophecy. She keeps it to herself. Well, she gets sick, and a bishop says, you need to let us know what that secret was. Well, the Blessed Mother told me not to. You need to really pray about this and think about it, because I want you to. She's a Carmelite nun, okay? Carmelite nuns are bound by obedience to their superiors, bishops. So the seer is in a quandary. Do I do what the Blessed Mother says, or do I do what the bishop says? Well, then the bishop gets a whole lot more direct and says, I order you. I order you under holy obedience to reveal the secret. Okay? She writes The Secret because she knows bishops speak, and she gives him The Secret. And it's under wraps for decades. And then you get piecemeal, little bits and pieces. And, oh, nope, that's the whole thing. Well, it's obvious that it's not the whole thing. And generally speaking, what the third secret has to do with is the divisions of the church. That couldn't happen. Look around you. You look around you and you for one moment think that Our Lady did not give that prophecy at Fatima. Those are the things that I said before grieve our Blessed Mother and our Lord. When we have allowed things to get to such a point where do you think there's going to be a division in the church? Look around you. It is there already. We are not going to prevent it. It's here. What can we do? If we listen to the Blessed Mother and to our Lord, we can alleviate its effects, particularly on us who are faithful. What do I mean by being faithful? Do what our Lord says. Do what our Lord says in the Scriptures. Do what your church has taught for 2,000 years. Shy away from innovations. Shy away from new stuff. Continue to do what you're doing and you will not grieve the Blessed Mother. And it's not a matter of a division such as two churches. There's not a division now in two churches. There's a division of faithful people and people who are unfaithful. The faithful people are the church. All right? And that's for the Holy Spirit and our Lord to guide our hearts and to see how that plays out. And we don't point fingers. It's about us as individuals being faithful, not grieving the Holy Spirit, doing what our Lord says. Doing what the church has always taught, then we will not grieve the Blessed Mother. And as hard as some of you who study Fatima may find it to not know what that secret is, let's not delve into things like that. We've got enough to worry about keeping ourselves straight for what we know, much less for things that we have in part, and things that have been disseminated by sinful people. Okay? It's about here. It's about your heart. When we crown the Blessed Mother today, walk away from it understanding that it is a crowning for the one who should be reigning in your heart, the one who intercedes for you with her Son, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you do that, I can stand before the Blessed Sacrament of the altar and say, all will be well with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.